This is the Self-Love Program 2005, and it is week 3, and in just about 90 seconds, we'll get started officially. All right, everyone, we're going to go ahead and get started. And if you are listening to this call recorded, we are actually going to start with an opening prayer, which is something that I have normally done at the beginning of all the conference calls on the program. And I believe the last couple weeks I've actually forgotten to do it. So this opening prayer is, and many of you know, and if you don't already work with me, I'll just give you a little bit of background, and it might be good for some of those that work with me to also know this. I am not a religious person. I never have been. I was actually raised quite agnostic, but I always knew from the very beginning that there was a much higher power than myself, and I always knew since I was a very little girl that we were all one and that we were all interconnected. There's a beautiful scene in the movie Avatar where all the trees talk and they can see that they're all interconnected. And that's how I believe not only are the plants and the life on Earth, but also humans, but through our invisible souls. And so with that belief system growing up, I used to go to church with my neighbors or my boyfriend or whatever. I went to church, I went to synagogue, I went to mosque, I went to I went to all kinds of crazy places, let me tell you, because I was always really interested in what people thought God was. And in my undergrad, I studied, I studied theater mainly, but I took several world religion classes, and I was just really fascinated with so many different types of religions. And the interesting thing as I got older and started piecing it all together is that really and truly, all religions have just so much overlap and so many of stories in Hinduism and Zoroastrianism and Buddhism and even Christianity and Muslim even. Many of the stories are very similar, but they're just told through different metaphors. And as an adult now and practicing spirituality, which is a very broad term for Christ consciousness in my mind, and Christ, meaning all children of God, not specifically Jesus, though I believe that Jesus was a child of God, but all children of God, which in fact we all are. And you hear me refer to us as children of God often. So to be the Christ on earth and to have Christ consciousness means to remember that we are children of God. And to remember that all of the people that walk on earth are children of God. Of course, some of us have completely forgotten and go through this lifetime asleep. And some of us choose at some point in our lives, hopefully sooner than later, to create an awakening within our soul. And as we begin to wake up to our spirituality and remember that we are children of God, that's when all kinds of beautiful things start happening. Of course, we're still very human, I must say. I'm experiencing that every day, my humanism. However, I remember more often than not that I am a child of God and that everyone we walk with is. So with that little bit of history, when we pray, when we do a pray-in, I always pray to Mother, Father, God, which just basically is saying all the feminine, all the masculine, all the oneness of all of eternity, and all the things that we cannot see and do not know, for all the souls present, for all the souls past, and all the souls future. So it's a very big umbrella of including all of our souls in God. So let's just take a deep breath and close your eyes and just tune into your body. And yes, prayer is much like meditation. In fact, I think I mentioned on a previous call that prayer is sometimes, well, prayer is normally speaking to God, and meditation is listening to God. And if you think about it that way, it's really makes a lot of sense to keep these two practices balanced. If you only ever meditated and never spoke to God, you may not hear the things that you are wanting to hear, and of course, vice versa. So let's take that deep breath, close your eyes, just drop into the center of your heart. Once a long time ago, I was told to imagine the space next to my heart, that there is this beautiful, eternal space around the heart. And if we imagine that space, that heart space, we can choose what to fill it up with. And I've always loved that image, a heart space. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we come to you this evening with wide open hearts, and with a beginner's mind, with the desire and the longing to learn, to continue to expand our knowledge and to see our path, to find our highest meaning, and above all, during this time, to expand on our self-love. As we learn to love ourselves and recognize ourselves as children of God, we are then more capable to recognize others as children of God. And ultimately, remembering you, God, for all the love, peace, joy, and abundance that we have come here to create for ourselves and for others. And for this, we are eternally grateful. So be it. So, week three. Wow. This is going by quite fast, I have to say. So, week three is be impeccable with your word. I really love the progression, and, you know, yes, of course, I wrote this program, but I have to say that this program really, like most things that I do and write and say and teach, really came through me. It was really a gift from God through me for everyone who would like to receive the gift, and this program is no different. So just briefly, in week one, we set upon the foundation for these 6 weeks, for these 40 days. And whatever that foundation is bringing to you, first of all, of course, I'd love for you to share. I'd love for you to send me an email and let me know how you're doing on the foundation, or when we talk on our regular chats during the week, you know, let me know how you're doing on the foundation. You know, for me, it ebbs and flows. Some days I am spot on and everything gets done perfectly. Other days I might not get to, you know, one of the pieces of the foundation, but the other three are great. And some days I squeeze it all into an hour because that's all I can do. Whatever the foundation is looking like for you right now, really ask yourself for the commitment to do what you need. What are your needs? For me right now, I especially need the physical body movement, especially. And I especially need morning pages. And then, quite coincidentally, I took a meditation class over this last weekend on Saturday, and meditation has really been opening up for me, and I feel like I have a whole new handle or grasp on my meditation practice, which is so beautiful. So whatever the foundation is looking like for you is exactly as it should be. And just check in every once in a while. When you are doing your gratitude journal at night, being grateful for the tools of the foundation should be included, whether you're doing them full out or you're just squeezing by. Whatever the case may be, give gratitude for yourself, for the commitment to the foundation, and if needed, recommit. And ask for a deeper foundation. Ask for that next level of commitment to the foundation if needed. Week two was about seva, about giving. We learned about the law of love and that to give is to receive. And whatever we give returns back to us. So it may not come back to us in the moment that we expect. It may not come back to us in the shape or size we expect. And, of course, it may not come back to us as a gift from the person that we originally gave. I'm experiencing through my own personal seva, the return on my quote-unquote investment of giving has just been magnified so much recently, and I'm so grateful for that. And I give a lot of credit to the program and to focusing on it for this particular week. It's really been a beautiful blessing for me as I am doing this program right along with you. Week three brings us to being impeccable with your word. And I will quote Don Miguel Ruiz. Be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. I love that last part. Use the power of your word. Our words are so incredibly powerful. Besides our body language, our words are our way of communicating. They are so precious. And sometimes we get hung up on semantics, but semantics is the finessing of the word, of how we communicate. It's so important, and it's so beautiful. So this week is about speaking, thinking, and writing the truth. Not just to communicate to others our truth or the truth, but to communicate to ourselves. And I would have to say that I feel pretty good on a 1 to 10. I feel like a strong 9 plus to my communication to others being truthful. But I have to say that I'm probably only a 6, maybe a 7 on the communication to myself, on my self-talk and my thoughts. And it's not to say that I am purposely lying to myself, but I have to double-check when I tell myself something, when I pass judgment on myself, when I pass judgment on something I've done. I have to check in and ask, is that true? Is it really true, what I'm thinking right now? And if the answer is no, which unfortunately, more often than I probably like to admit, the answer is no, then I have to go in and, you know, ask what the truth is. So we'll get to that a little bit more, but we really need to watch the negativity that we say, not just to others, but to ourselves. If you hear yourself speaking negatively about yourself out loud, imagine the things that you have censored that have gone on in your mind quietly. Speaking the truth sounds easy, but you would be amazed about how many lies we speak and think daily. This isn't necessarily about being hurtful to someone else or about spreading rumors, though that is absolutely something we do not want to be doing, not just during this week, but at all. If we're sharing information that's not important to the situation or of valid importance to the person we're speaking to, that is gossip. That's a rumor. And we really need to check in with that as well. It's fun to talk about our friends and what they're doing, and as long as it's positive, I say knock your socks off. But when it comes into a negative space, let's check ourselves. Now, of course, there's an appropriate time and space to share things that have been negatively affecting us or that we see affecting others negatively, whether it's, it could be a number of things, but whether you're speaking with someone like myself as a counselor and sharing concern, or you're speaking with a very close friend in a very sacred space and confidence, that's fine. You know what I'm talking about, the casualness of sharing information that doesn't need to be shared. So that seems like it should be a given and a golden rule for all of us right off the bat. But this week, I'm asking you to pay attention to how you speak of others. And maybe think of even the old golden rule, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And I'll tell you, sometimes silence speaks volumes, as I'm sure you've all experienced. So the main focus with this coming week is to be impeccable with our words and also be impeccable with our thoughts. And in turn, that would make us impeccable with our writing as well. So when we're journaling in the morning pages, you are allowing your subconscious to come out onto the page. The subconscious, if it's true subconscious, if it's true divinity, will be pure in truth. And there will not be any quote-unquote lies within that subconscious. But if you find your ego creeping in, write it. Get it out of your system. There is truth and very a whole bunch of empowerment there. It's very strong to just dump whatever your mind is thinking onto the page. It is possible to cry all the tears, to write all the words, to get it out of your system. So don't be too, I don't want to use the word judgmental, but don't be too discerning when it comes to morning pages. Let yourself vent if you need to vent. But other than that, make sure that your writing is also saying your truth as well. There is something that happens, and I think it mainly happens in the New Age kind of world, the metaphysical world, the Sedona world maybe, and that is there is something called speaking my truth. So let's say, for example, you and I have a situation and we're arguing about something and we don't see eye to eye on something. It would be very common for one of us to say, well, this is my truth. And my truth is that you, blah, 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 and that made me, blah, 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 blah. And that is not speaking the truth. That's your opinion. So it's a phrase and it is semantics, but it happens often where we say, I'm speaking my truth. You're actually speaking your opinion. It's a, you know, it's a phrase that gets kind of thrown around a lot. And I don't want to make a big deal about it, but it is easy for people to say, well, I am speaking the truth. I'm speaking my truth. We need to really check in and ask, is this the truth? There's only three kinds of business. I think I write this somewhere in this week, but there's my business, your business, and God's business. And if I stay out of your business and you stay out of my business, then we don't have opportunity for a lot of lies to happen. That does not mean that we can't be close, that we can't share things, that we can't, you know, share secrets with one another, and that we can't ask for one another's opinions. But when someone isn't asking and when someone is not invited, we allow that person the space to be who they need to be. That's another piece of being truthful to ourselves. Oftentimes we see a projection or a reflection of someone else with ourselves, and something that we see in another person triggers us. But instead of going, oh, I'm really seeing something about myself here in this person, we project, oh, look at that person doing something wrong. So you can see that there are many layers to being impeccable with your word, not just, you know, not telling a lie, but there's many layers about it. Let's go back to the PDF here before I get on a whole nother tangent. So we talked about speaking our truth. So sometimes when people say, well, it's my truth, or I have to speak my truth, the divine way to deliver the truth is to remember to do the best thing for the most people. And that is so poignant in any situation. The divine way to deliver the truth, the divine way to deliver the truth. So, yes, it may be true that, let me think of something silly, that those pants make your butt look big. But I'm going to find the divine way to deliver that truth, and that is to do the best thing for the most people. So maybe I would suggest a different pair of pants, right? You know what I'm talking about. And let's see, let's move down. Yes, there's the God's business, your business, and their business, and the truth. The truth can be taken in and perceived as pain. This is where if you tell someone something that is actually true because they've asked you to tell them, and you tell them the truth, not your truth, but the truth, it can still be perceived as pain or joy or love or any other emotional attachment the receiver of the truth chooses. When we tell the truth, it can be tricky because sometimes we are charged or triggered, which means we're not in our divine self, by the truth, or we may not want to tell someone the truth for personal gain. Run it by a friend if you need to, and you can ask them, does this sound triggered? Does it sound like it's an issue? And the fact of the matter is that probably if you have to run it by somebody, then you're probably triggered by it. So it's a good clue that it is a trigger. And you can take action in the truth by stopping the little white lies and the exaggerations and the withholding of information, and it becomes so clear. When you take responsibility for the things that you speak, things get much clearer. When you take responsibility for the things that you think, you feel a sense of enlightenment. You feel a sense of empowerment. It's very beautiful. A lot of people have told me that this is one of the harder weeks to go through the program. And I think it's because you have to really be aware of it at all times. Like, you can't just say, oh gosh, look at the time, I better go, you know, speak my truth now, or speak the truth now. It's, you know, it's kind of the same when week two, when we're talking about Seva. It's not, oh, I'm going to go volunteer at the shelter from 4:30 to 5, and so that's my Seva. That is a form of Seva, and it's very important and wonderful and beautiful that you're doing that. But Seva is all day, every day. How can I be of assistance? I love the concept of feeling like you're a superhero and your secret power is Seva. That's like, just, I love that so much, and I feel like that so often. In this week, in the third week, it's all the time. You need to be thinking about your truth, the truth, and how easy it is to do, the truth all the time, and being impeccable with your word all the time. And a lot of people have reflected back that that is quite a responsibility. So let's see, if you find yourself thinking something, anything that's uncomfortable, ask yourself, is it true? You may have to ask this more than once. Keep asking till you shift the thought, or until you release the pain of believing something is true when it isn't. That's a big one. Believing something is true when it isn't. For example, let's say that you have a boyfriend and you think that they're still in love with some ex-girlfriend or something. And this is your truth because you've created this whole scenario in your mind. Now, let's assume that it's not actually the truth. It's not a fact that your boyfriend's in love with his ex-girlfriend. But for whatever reason, you have convinced yourself through different things that you have seen or different things that you have felt or stories that you told yourself in your head. That is a very big lie that you're telling yourself. So you can see it's not just about blatant lies. It's about that layer of blame or shame or the story, in quotes, that we put upon different thoughts that go through our minds. And why? Why would you tell yourself that kind of story in your mind? There's most likely a hurt from the past that's coming up for you. There's most likely a self-worth issue that's coming up for you. There's some story that's happening for you that is attaching to this lie, and you then get to become the victim. You see, if your boyfriend's done something wrong, or if your boyfriend's still hung up on so-and-so, then you get to be the victim. And as much as I'd like to say I've never been in the situation of liking to be the victim, it just isn't true because I'm human. If I take responsibility and I ask myself, is this the truth? And I take responsibility for that, and we come out on the other side and realize what the truth is of the situation, we are no longer a victim. And the ego really wants us to be victim 24/7. The ego doesn't want us to change, remember? This is not an ego like an egotistical type of person that thinks they're all that, a conceited person. This is the ego that's holding us down, that's having limiting thoughts, that's creating limiting feelings and beliefs for us day after day after day. And we are really going to combat, in a way, and bring our divine, authentic self, which can only speak, think, feel, and see the truth, forward to be a beautiful warrior, a god or goddess warrior. So another example that I mentioned in the PDF is, no one ever listens to me. This is something that I used to say a long time ago because I felt unheard in my own space, and it just wasn't true. Yet the ego finds relief in saying it because it's a cop-out to being heard, being accountable, and being honest. If no one heard me, I couldn't be the victim. Oh yes, weren't those the fun days? So in this particular example, the lie is that no one heard me, and it just wasn't true. But the ego got rewarded by being the victim, so we keep the lie going. When we decided to tell the truth, there were many moments that I caught myself wanting to tell a lie again, and here are the steps when that happens to you. So you realize you're telling yourself a lie, or you're speaking a lie, one or the other. Number one, you're going to recognize the lie. Well, I'm telling myself that nobody listens. That I know that's a lie. Do you ask, is it true? And you keep asking so you know that it is not true. Number three, why am I telling this lie? Well, in this case, I'm telling the lie because my ego is benefiting because it gets to be the victim, which is a cop-out from being responsible. Number three, why am I telling this? I'm sorry. Number four, ask, is this really serving me? No, it's not. Though the ego thinks it is, it's absolutely not really serving me. And this should be a sense of relief right then and there. Number five, you release the lie. Feel the change in all the bodies. The physical body, emotional, mental, and even the spiritual body will feel a release, a lightening of your, you know, of the weight, of the baggage that you're carrying around metaphorically. You should feel a beautiful release. Number six is the big question. Well, what is the truth? State what you know now and commit to living in the truth. So the truth can just simply be, well, I was enjoying being in the role of victim versus taking responsibility for not feeling like I was heard. Or the truth could be, well, my boyfriend's not still in love with his ex-girlfriend, but I happen to be in love with my ex-boyfriend. Oh, now there's one for you, right? Number seven, breathe in the truth. I am a whole. I am whole. I am complete. I am divine. I am love. I am a child of God. I am truth. I am truth. This is a really, these 1 through 7 right here, I mean, keep it handy. Because this week as you go through and you start recognizing the lies, the just the little dishonesties. So don't have to be giants. The things we tell ourselves. Primarily in the beginning, you're going to notice if you're telling lies to someone else or you're speaking untruth about or to someone else. But as the week goes on, maybe even in the very beginning, you'll start catching yourself in what you're telling yourself lies. Go through 1 through 7. You will be so much lighter, I promise you. This was a big turnaround for me several years ago. This really came up for me when I was at university studying spiritual psychology. This was a big one. When this showed up and I realized the lies I was telling myself, like, for example, nobody listens to me, that was huge. What a huge responsibility to start knowing that I don't have to be that victim and that only I have put myself in that victim role because nobody else can. No one else is in control of you except for you. How you respond and how you proceed is all you. The one thing that nobody can change is how you react. That's pretty powerful if you ask me. Be gentle with yourself because, you know, some of you, and including me, some of us have been lying for our entire lives in our work, family, friends, relationships, to ourselves. Just let it go. Just be gentle. Don't judge it and ask for guidance. Divine Spirit or Mother, Father, God, please give me the words of truth today. Show me the divine light in every person. In other words, show me that every person is a child of God. Show me this light in every moment and everything and open my heart to living in the divine truth. And so it is. I don't know what could be more powerful than that, quite honestly. Journal about any moments when you find yourself in a lie, just the observation, no judgment. You can shift it anytime. Even look at lies from the past. Think about something that you used to tell yourself or someone else, then do the steps above. Just because we are not currently doing it, doesn't mean that you release the stress or the pain of the lie. This can be a very powerful experience. So in this process, we would go back and we would say, what is it that I used to say? What was that lie? What did it used to look like? Why did I used to feel like a victim? And you can go back and go through the 7 steps and release that energy. Release that negativity. Cut that string that ties you back and tethers you back to that lie. Remember, in this practice of spirituality and Christ consciousness, we can't change the past. Believe it or not, you can change the past because you change your perception of it. That's pretty powerful as well. From A Course in Miracles, I love this quote too. From A Course in Miracles, if you will lay aside the ego's voice, that's, remember, for some of you that might be old enough to remember this, I don't know, maybe in reruns, Tom and Jerry, Tom's the cat, and he's like, you know, going to eat Jerry or whatever, and Jerry was a mouse. And on his, I think the right shoulder was the devil, and the right shoulder, on the left shoulder is an angel, and they're battling back and forth. If you think about this, you can think of the devil as your ego, and the angel as your divine self. your authentic voice, God's voice. You are a child of God, and God speaks through you. So that's what, when Course in Miracles especially refers to the ego's voice, it's basically that idea of heaven and earth, of God and the devil, if you will, and that kind of helps you understand where the ego is coming from if that concept isn't fully developed yet for you. So back to Course in Miracles. If you will lay aside the ego's voice, however loudly it may seem to call, if you will not accept its petty gifts that give you nothing that you really want, if you will listen with an open mind that has not told you what salvation is, then you will hear the mighty voice of truth, quiet in power, strong in stillness, and completely certain in its messages. Oh, I love that. Love the Course in Miracles. And just by the way, if you have not gotten the book Love is Letting Go of Fear by Gerald Jampolsky, I really encourage you to. It is an easy read. It's like less than 200 pages. There's cartoons. It's a great book. And it is the cliff version of the main topics, I guess, the main overall feeling of A Course in Miracles. I mean, Course in Miracles is thousands and thousands of pages and very detailed and very intricate, but if you read Love is Letting Go of Fear, you get the gist. You'll understand the basic concepts of A Course in Miracles and also the basic concepts that I utilize in my teaching and counseling. Well, I don't, but it comes through me. Okay, so experience the freedom of nothing to hide. Oh my gosh, doesn't that, just the thought of that. I can't even think of anything I have to hide. And just saying those words, imagine having nothing to hide. It feels so freeing, so freeing. So the breakdown for this week, and then we're going to do a meditation. The breakdown for this week is simple. Number one, continue with the foundation every morning. Commit. Recommit every morning. Take it one day at a time. Do not live in the past. Just keep moving forward. If you didn't do it all week, well, you can't go back and do it now, so just move forward. But you can change how you perceive the week that you didn't do it. You can forgive and let it go and be gentle and be kind and ease yourself into it this week. How simple is that? Or you could blame and shame and be miserable and never do it this week either. Up to you, whatever. Number two, keep the presence and energy of Seva in your day-to-day. If you feel moved by Seva, consider volunteering on a regular basis. If you feel called to write about your experience with Seva and email it to me, that would be awesome. I love hearing how this week of the program works, especially the Seva is so good. Number three, this week, add in telling the truth. And one more quote here. This is by Neil Donald Walsh, and it's from his book, Conversations with God, which is not on any required reading, and it's not my favorite book by any means, but this is a great quote. The five levels of truth. Of truth-telling. First, you have to tell the truth to yourself about yourself. That's what we talked about, the self-talk. Then you tell the truth about yourself to another. I'm sorry. Then you tell yourself, let me try this one more time. Then you tell the truth to yourself about another, meaning you tell yourself the truth about the boyfriend instead of the lie. And the third level, you tell the truth about yourself to another. So then you tell your truth, well, actually, I'm in love with my old boyfriend, to your boyfriend. And again, highest good for the most people. You'd have to make that decision about what that looks like. And then you tell the truth about another to that other. Okay? And finally, you tell the truth to everyone about everything. That progression, I mean, I could try to rewrite it into my own words, and I was like, well, hell with that. We're just going to make it a quote because that's much easier, and it's going to tell the truth anyhow. Be sure that if, you know, I really encourage you guys to print out each of the PDFs each week and stick it in a folder or a binder or whatever. And I'm old-fashioned like that. You know, I still like my paper calendar. I'm sitting right next to it at all times. But it's up to you. I like it because I like to make notes and highlight. You can do it on the computer as well. You can do it on your phone, whatever. But definitely make notes while you're going through this experience. I wanted to just add a little bit of information here really quick, and then I want to go into a meditation that will just bring us into this week three really beautifully. But I wanted to mention, and I know I've told some of you guys that I talk to on a regular basis, I am in the process of making the self-love program into an actual book. So it will have, you know, an introduction and a beautiful foreword by a dear friend, and then 6 chapters, one for each week. And then, of course, a conclusion, and then some references and acknowledgments and things like that. So it's going to be a complete book. Each of these weeks that I'm sending to you and asking you to do will be a chapter in the book, of course, but to expand the book and to also help people that don't get to talk to another, just somebody that's buying the book at the store or online or whatever, I really want to include stories, you know, about those of us that have actually gone through the program. Stories about what it was like to experience SEVA. A wonderful story and a negative story for that matter. I want to make sure that there's stories and not testimonials, but stories told from the first person of people that are actually going through the program. So if any of you feel so moved to write about an experience you have in any of the weeks, or all the weeks for that matter, they may very well end up in a book. And of course, it would be completely anonymous. But that would be much appreciated. And I think you would benefit from telling your own story. And the beautiful thing is that you would be doing SEVA by writing your story. Because when somebody opens up the book and they read about, say, telling the truth, but they don't really connect with my example that I wrote about, but you write about whatever your story is and they understand. And it's a realization for them. It's an aha moment for them. And they connect in. And that helps them with their seva or their telling of the truth or their self-love. I mean, literally writing your story about any of these weeks or all of these weeks could honestly, and I speak this as the truth, change someone's life. I know that I do what I do. I would do it even if it was only going to change one person's life. It's worth it to me for one person's life. And I'm hoping to be so blessed that I would, that what I call in, what I allow to come through me from God to you, changes many people's lives. But I believe that it's worth it just for one. So if you do feel called, you know, it doesn't matter how long or how short it is, write about your experience. You know, this is something that you can give back. It's also a huge something you can do for yourself. So it works on a self-love level, on a SEVA level, and on telling the truth, because that's what you'll be doing. You'll be telling the truth of your experience. So that is week 3. And I think I'm not sure how many of you honestly are on the call tonight. I didn't listen to the tones. But if anybody has any questions right now, you can unmute yourself. I believe you unmute on your end by pushing star 6. Mute your line. Yeah, star 6. So if anybody is on the line right now and has any questions or any comments or anything at all about where we're at in the program, please just push star 6 and you'll be unmuted and you can say something. So I will kind of keep talking and going through, but please, you know, chime in when you're ready. And you, of course, are completely anonymous, so no worries there. If you're, you know, in hiding or witness protection program or something. I'm kidding. As we move into this next part, we're going to do a short meditation. And what else did I want to tell you guys? I think that's it. Let me tell you, too, just while we're waiting to see if anybody wants to ask any questions or chime in with any comments, please do so. Please interrupt me. I'm just talking so there's not dead air. I did want to let you guys also know that on February 27th, which is a Friday, and February 28th, which is a Saturday, we're going to be, me and 3 Trees are going to be offering a divine relationship retreat. It's a shortened version of the longer relationship retreat that we offer. And if anyone's interested, you can go on the website, www.avamaurice.com with an E, and check it out. Or you can just call me and we can talk about it. So I'm guessing that nobody has any questions or any comments. I'm hoping that the unmuting would work if you're trying to get through to me. But I think it does because it did last week, so I think we're good. So I'm just going to say, let's just move on into a meditation. So just 1 minute, I'll give if anybody else has anything they want to add, and then we'll move into the meditation. Somebody did ask me if it was possible to download these calls on the computer, And I haven't heard back from that client if it worked okay, but I can definitely send that out again. And if anybody wants to give it a try, you're more than welcome to. And you can download it on the computer that way. The listening to the recorded call, you can also record that and save that on your phone as well. All right, so let's move into the meditation. We might end this a little bit early tonight. Just move into that space of unconditional love for yourself. Dropping in, feeling your physical body, and releasing any stress or pain from your top of your head all the way down to your toes. And we start at the top of the head down to the feet sometimes so that we ground our energy into the earth. Sometimes we start at our feet and work our way up to our head, open our energy up to the heavens. But tonight, we want to come in and ground, especially because we're winding down our day as well. So from the top of your head, relaxing all of your muscles in your head and your jaw and your face, in your neck and your shoulders and your arms. You can imagine the beautiful golden liquid of God just pouring into your body, pouring in through the crown chakra, down your spine. Feel that warm liquid gold pouring down your spine, down into your chest, through your rib cage, into your stomach, down into your hips. Feel the warmth and the mobility in your joints, everything fluid, liquid, down into your thighs, wrapping around your knees, down into your calves and your shins, into your ankles. Actually feel that liquid warmth in your ankles, down into your feet, into the soles of your feet, all the way to your toes. Feel that fluid feeling throughout your body of warmth and liquid love. The liquid love light from God. So yummy. And feel that moving through your physical body. And now opening your heart even wider and feeling that beautiful liquid light in your heart, paying attention to your breath. Watching your breath, watching your chest expand and contract, feeling the cool air coming in and the warm air going out. And in your mind's eye, let's come out of our bodies for a moment. Just imagine your soul coming, rising right out of the physical body and turning around and looking at your physical body sitting in this meditation in this moment. Look directly at yourself. Notice if there's any stress. Notice if there's anything but pure bliss. Just notice. As your soul floats above the physical body, if you see that there's any stress or pain in the forehead, let your soul's hand reach out and touch your physical body's forehead. Feel the sensation in the physical body as your forehead melts away any stress or any pain. Feel the sensation in both of your beings, in the physical being as well as in your soul. What does it feel like to touch the forehead of your physical being with the hand of your soul? And what does it feel like to receive that touch in your physical body? Really feel that experience. Now, do the same for the shoulders. If there's any tension or pain in your shoulders, with your soul's hands, just touch your physical body shoulder. Feel the melting of that stress wash away. And now, as the soul hovering over your physical body, look into the physical body's heart. Is there any tightness? Is there a shallowness of breath? Is there any pain? Let your soul's hand reach out and touch the heart of the physical body. Feel that. Feel the space around your heart. As a soul, we are pure, we are whole, we are complete, we are God's light, we are Christ on earth. Our physical body is the vehicle for our soul to be traveling on this earth. Give thanks to this awesome vehicle. It is perfect because it houses our soul. And it is human and may have what is perceived as imperfection in this human world. Give thanks for that uniqueness. Now, as a soul and as a physical body, come palm to palm. And physically, in this moment, the physical body puts our hands straight up into the air. And in your mind's eye, as the soul, use your soul hands and touch your physical body's hands. Feel the pressure on your hands of your soul. What a beautiful sensation. Open your arms wide. Let's bring our soul back into our body. Feel the wave of ecstasy as the soul enters the body. You may get goosebumps, the hair on your neck may stand up. Feel the joy and exuberance of the marriage of the soul and the physical body. What a miraculous opportunity this is. How beautiful and ecstatic we can be when we remember that we are a soul inside of a human body. What a miracle. If ever our bodies are in pain, ask the soul to come out and help heal. Embrace the soul back into the physical body and feel the ecstasy. This is a divine opportunity we have here on earth. This kind of love, this union with our soul, this is self-love. This is the honoring of our soul, the honoring of the physical. This is the journey of Christ on earth. Think about the tools of the foundation in your mind's eye. Imagine yourself fully, completely, wholly embracing each of the tools. Yourself waking up in the morning and journaling. How would you roll over and grab the pencil and start writing? How do the sheets feel on your feet? How does it smell in the morning in your house? Can you smell the coffee? Can you smell the rain? Can you smell the snow? Imagine getting out of bed, moving into your day, sitting in a quiet space and going into a beautiful state of meditation. see yourself sitting in meditation, feet firmly on the ground, honoring Mother Earth, spine straight and solid, crown chakra open wide, receiving God's love, and heart space full of God's light. Imagine yourself in your favorite yoga class, or walking in Mother Nature, or swimming. Imagine your body moving and all the cells in your body renewing and filling up with life, filling up with God, remembering that we are children of God in every movement, in every second, moving the body. And now in your mind's eye, go to that gratitude. Let your mind quickly flash all the things you're grateful for. See your family, your children, your spouse, your house, your job, your work, your love, your partner, your favorite food, your favorite smell, your favorite color, all the things in the external world. Let them flash before your eyes. Let that dissipate from your mind's eye and come into the center of your being. Come into the truth of who you are. What is your truth? What are you grateful for? What is it about you that you are grateful for? Are you grateful for an ability that you have, a gift that you give? Are you grateful for this physical body that moves you around, for your emotional body that expresses beautiful, beautiful emotions, for your mind that solves problems, that makes choices, for your spiritual body that's awakening more and more every day? Give gratitude. As we end in this beautiful silence, imagine the joy, the love, the peace, and the abundance that await you every day. This is your birthright. Allow your miracles. Allow all the miracles that await you, that are you, that are already present within you. Allow them into your life. Allow them to elevate the experience of being human. Start breathing very slowly and deeply, paying attention to your breath, to the rise and fall of your lungs. Feel your body. Slowly move your fingers and toes. Become aware of your surroundings. Know that that journey within, the journey of observation of your soul, the journey of imagining all the things you're grateful for and imagining yourself doing the different tools of the foundation, all of that is right within you at any time. coming back to center, imagining the beautiful liquid gold of God pouring into your body, wiping away the stress with the soul's hand. It's all yours. It came through for you. These are your gifts. Use them. Explore them. Expand them. And most importantly, enjoy them. As we come back into our physical bodies, back into this present moment, back into our lives, remember to be grateful for all we have. We are all so blessed. And now we'll move into our closing prayer. Beloved Mother, Father, God, thank you so much for this opportunity for all of us to share in this beautiful experience of love. Thank you for this moment, for it is all there is. And thank you for these tools. The gratitude runs deep. We are open to our miracles. We will receive them and allow them and welcome more. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it is. Thank you all so much, whether you're listening live or whether you are listening at a later date. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your journey. I will talk to many of you this week. And don't forget, you all have a half an hour. Don't all of you schedule at the very last minute. I'll be going crazy. I don't even think it's possible. So schedule before it gets too far in, or save it to the last minute if you want. That's fine. But thank you all for letting me do my soul's purpose. Don't forget to get the book by Jel Jampolsky, Love is Letting Go of Fear. Recommit to the foundation this week. And most importantly this week, speak the truth. Think the truth. And know the truth. Have a beautiful night until next Monday evening.